I'll call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Luke. I'll be reading out of the 10th chapter, and I'll read verses 25 through 29 for your consideration this morning. Supporting scripture coming from Exodus 20, verses 16 and 17. The Bible reads the 10th chapter of St. Luke. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 16 and 17. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So on the basis of those verses this morning, I'd like to propose a question to you this morning. Do you know who your neighbor is? Do you know who your neighbor is? Hallelujah. Do you know who your neighbor is this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank God for the men's choir this morning, allowing God to use them. Leaning on Jesus. One thing about the Lord is that he will not let you fall. He won't let you down. He just always right there. And I thank God this morning for your love. I thank God for your prayers. And I heard in the song where he said, called on my pastor, but pastor just a man, and I need to lean on Jesus myself. I'm about broke down this morning, so you can't lean on me. You better have somebody with a stronger power that you can lean on. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's a healer, he's a keeper, and he is a way maker this morning. And I don't know about you, but I just got sense enough to tell God, thank you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the midst of what you're going through, how many of you know God is still worthy of the praise? Anybody got a mind to tell the devil he is a lie this morning? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. On a day like today, when God is as good as he is all the time, only thing I can tell you is just do the best you can do. I can't cut you off if you got it from on high. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are thankful to God this morning for his presence, for his spirit and his power. His spirit is ministering and moving all around this place right now. It's a good thing to know that we serve a God that moves from breast to breast and from heart to heart. And can't nobody keep you from feeling good. Can't nobody hinder you from being blessed by the best. And all you got to do is call on his righteous name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are thankful to God this morning because he is the best thing that could ever happen to any of us. Do you know who your neighbor is? We're going to see if we can get this out this morning. Hallelujah. One thing is for sure this morning as we've come together is the fact that it's not by our own merits. I don't care how good you may feel that you are. I don't care how saved and sanctified you may be. I don't care if you're one that can declare, I've been on the Lord's side for a long time. And it doesn't matter whether you've been on the Lord's side for 10 minutes, 10 years, or 22 years. God is still good. And that individual that just been in it for 10 minutes, you got something real good because it's fresh to you. You know how it is when you first get it? And you're just so excited about Jesus. You're excited about what the Lord is doing in your life. And some of us, we just want to tell somebody just how good the Lord has been. Some of us find ourselves not being able to keep it to ourselves. We run from house to house and from door to door telling the good news that my Savior, when I thought I was a wretch undone and didn't nobody care about me, God looked beyond my fault and saw a need to bless my very soul. And I feel like I'm in his favor this morning because I'm yet still counted amongst the living. I'm able to give God praise. I'm able to open up my mouth and a sound come out. And I'm thankful to God this morning. There are times that we may say God is good all the time and all the time God is good. And it's good to be able to say that. But what about when we're going through our hard times? Can we still have that same mindset? Can we still say God is good when your body is in pain? God is still good. When your bills are overdue, God is still good. When you can't make your ends meet, God is still good. When you can't find nobody to say that they'll be a friend to you, how many of you know that you got a friend in Christ Jesus? And as long as I got a friend in Jesus, I don't need really nobody else because one thing about Jesus, he gonna send you somebody. Let us not forget that he loves us with an unconditional love, and it's a real love, a love that we know that we can count on. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't you know you are one of the whosoever? I don't care what nobody else think about you. You are whosoever. And somebody may say you don't deserve this or you don't deserve that, but they don't know your God. Hallelujah, Jesus. You don't tell me what I need or what I deserve because you don't know how good God has been to me. You don't know how many times God has came and rescued us. And God loved us so much that he allowed his only begotten son to die for us. Then the Bible declares that because he died, we shall have everlasting life. Now, when we look at John 15:12-13, Jesus says, this is my commandment that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, that's love. When you can love somebody to the degree that you would take on their hurt and their pain and even death so that they would have the right to the tree of life. We need to know and understand the importance of extending real love, not only to our family members, not only to our friends, but also to our neighbor. Jesus says that this is a new commandment that ye love one another as he has loved us. If you are one that go about talking about love and you don't know the love of Jesus, then you don't know what you're talking about. Because the Bible declared that God is love. And if you don't know God, then you don't know real love. But once you come in contact with God, it's a love that passes all of our understanding. And that's more than mere words, because when I thought about it, I realized that I can't really understand why does God love us so much? We, the Bible declares, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we fall over and over again. We are many times out of the will of God, but God still shows us his mercy. He still shows us his grace. He still gives us love and compassion. And when we propose the question to you this morning, do you know who your neighbor is? And then we have to come to understand that it doesn't matter whether you know him by name or not. Do you treat your neighbor like you're supposed to? Do you treat your neighbor like you would yourself, as the Bible declares, or do you treat your neighbor like just any somebody? The Bible declared that we are to treat our neighbors as ourselves, love them. And can we honestly say that we love our neighbor? Some of you don't even know your neighbor. Now, that does not necessarily mean that you don't love them, because if you love them in a Christian love, then you don't necessarily have to know them. You just love them. But now, we're living in a time where we don't really like to get to know our neighbors like we used to. A neighbor is a person who lives next door or nearby, a person or thing adjacent to another. But the most important definition of a neighbor is a fellow human being. Look it up in the dictionary. We tend to bank on neighbors being the person next door, the person within our neighborhood. But when we think about a neighbor as a fellow human being, when we think and consider a neighbor and embrace the definition of a fellow human being, our brothers and sisters of any race or creed, you know, we have seen in our lifetime that things have changed. Our communities have changed. There was a time when we used to say this is the black neighborhood and that's the white neighborhood, and now we got mixed neighborhoods. We've come a long way. And then I find that many times when we are in our own individual houses, we tend to not want to be bothered. We've become very independent-minded. And as long as I got and my family got, I'm not worried about my neighbor. Hello? But now, in the time that I grew up, neighbors was very important. Neighbors loved one another. Neighbors, you know, we got the neighborhood watch now, but we've been watching for a long time. Most of you knows it anyhow. You look out the window, you look out the door, you look everywhere. The thing is, you just don't tell what you see. We have always looked out for one another. Neighbors in the time of old, we borrowed sugar, we borrowed flour, we borrowed eggs. Sometimes you say, "Do you want me to make the cake?" But when you went to your neighbor and you said, "Do you have a few eggs, or do you have whatever it was?" You didn't hear no fussing, no griping. You didn't hear no, "Don't you have your own," and all this mess that we are doing now. They went right into the kitchen or sent a child in the kitchen. "Go in there and get them some eggs." Now we are walking in a time when just about everybody either got a phone in the house or a cell phone. But how many of you remember when everybody in the neighborhood didn't have no phone? You had to go and knock on somebody's door. "Can I use your phone?" Ain't nothing worse than somebody wanting to use your phone at the wrong hour of the night. "Now, you need to use my phone. You need to have sense enough to come at an early hour." Young folk, texting, talking. Don't know anything about what they call the party line. Old folk, that's who I'm talking to now. Did you have to be careful what you said on the telephone? Because you don't know who's listening in on your call. Oh, we learned how to pick up the receiver just so. Make sure couldn't nobody hear you pick up, so then you can tune in. Cut the television off and listen to what's going on the telephone. But now we done got so uppity. Love allowed people to come into your home. Love allowed people, even if it was late in the night hour, love still opened up the door. Because one thing is that they wouldn't have come if they did not have a need to use it. And we had a love back in the day that was beyond measure. Because one thing about it is that in the old neighborhoods, we had folk that would clean for you, that would come and cook for you, that would come and do whatever needed to be done in your household if you were not able. Anybody remember that? But now I guarantee you, in some of our communities, if you would go and ask for somebody by name, that individual tell you, "I don't know them." Think about where you live. Now some of us live where we've been for a long time. But now, there are still even communities now, right here in Parkertown, where you don't know your neighbor. Speak for yourself, Kay. I don't know my neighbors. Not a one on the street, except on the end of the street, I know Rick. Only one on the whole street that I know. But I learned that all of them are my neighbors. And the one thing that we have to understand, and when we go back through the pages of history, loving your neighbor didn't just start in the 20th century. When we go back to the laws that God gave to Moses, the Bible says that he gave him 10 commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. The last two, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox or his ass or anything that is thy neighbor's. These instructions God gave to the people of God. And as he gave them these instructions, they were merely laws given as guidelines for them to live by from one day to another. These commandments govern our relationship with God. And then it governs our relationship with mankind. When we look at Exodus, the Bible tells us that we need to treat our neighbor right. We need to treat our neighbor like a fellow human being. We need to know that our neighbor is somebody. And if you don't know who your neighbor is, what I come to tell you this morning is that it doesn't matter whether you know them by name, but you ought to be able to love them. You ought to be able to do whatever it is that you can to help them along the way. In our text this morning, found in the gospel according to St. Luke, Jesus gives us a good example of who a real neighbor really is. There was a certain lawyer that asked a question. He asked two questions. First, he wanted to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In answer, Jesus asked him, what do you know about God's requirements? And then the man responded correctly. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy strength and with all of thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord says, you've answered right. When we look here in the word of God, he says, and he shall say unto him, thou have answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But now, verse 29 says, he willing to justify himself. He said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? You see, I find that a lot of times we know what to do, but we're just not willing to do it. Love is somewhere down on the inside of us, but sometimes you have to pry it out, and sometimes it takes a tragedy to get it to come out. But I want to let you know this morning that we got to understand that this lawyer thought that he was being very smart. See, it's one thing to be smart with folk, but it's another thing to try to outsmart God. There he is asking the Lord, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Lord God told him, you know what to do. And he asked it and let him know, I do know what to do. All I got to do is love my neighbor. All I got to do is love the Lord thy God with everything that I got. Not with a percentage of what I got. You know how we come into God's house And some of us won't even lift up holy hands. Some of us won't even open our mouth and tell God thank you. Some of us won't take time enough to say, I know the Lord is working a miracle in my life. But there comes a time you got to forget about your neighbor. You got to forget about that one that's looking and criticizing you and understand that God wants you to get your life in order. Smart man said, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Bible said that he said there was a certain man. He gave him a parable, a little story. There was a certain man going down to Jericho. And as he was going down, he fell among thieves. When he fell among the thieves, they stripped him and they beat him and they robbed him of everything that he had. The Bible declared that they left him laying on the side of the road for dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, the Bible says he passed by on the other side. Oh, Lord, that must have been a mighty busy preacher. To see a man of God laying down there on the ground and hurting and bleeding and yet didn't even take the time to mend his wound. But the Bible declares that he passed by on the other side. Then here come a Levite, one of those religious leaders that know the law, that know what to do. You know, we got folk that know what to do. We got our own mindset. We help who we want to help. If you don't look like I want to help you, I'm not going to help you. But I come to tell you this morning, you better learn how to help any and everybody. Every time God gives you an opportunity, you ought to be a help to somebody. Here we have a man of God, and here we have a religious leader. Both of them ought to have a mindset to stop and get a man a helping hand. But the Bible declared that they passed by on the other side. But oh God, here come a certain Samaritan. A Samaritan didn't have good relationship with the Jews. But here it was that the Jew laying down there on the ground. The priest then came by. The Levite, who is the religious leader of the Jews, have come by and didn't even give him a second look. But here this Samaritan that don't even have relations with them stopped by and began to mend his very wounds. The Bible says he poured in oil and wine and he mended his wounds and he even put him on his own beast and took him so he could get some more help. So he got to the city and said, whenever you got to do to the man and I'll pay you when I come back. Somebody tell somebody this morning, you better know who your neighbor is. For the Bible said the question came from Jesus' mouth. Now out of these three, which one of these do you say was neighbor to the man? Well, automatically, you know, it had to be the one that would lend a helping hand. So I stopped by the Telfile Chapel this morning. Don't care who it is out there in distress. I don't care whether they're white, black, or Jew. If you got a way to help somebody, you better help who you can while you can. I don't care if they're Hispanic and you can't speak Spanish. You might not be able to speak Spanish, but if you see the blood coming out of the man's head, you ought to be able to wipe the blood from his brow. You ought to be able to say in English, I know God is going to make a way out of no way. That man might not understand what you say, but God in his wise providence and with his spirit will intersect and intercede for the man. Let the man know that there's love in the midst. If you got the love of God down on the inside, God will always send somebody your way. I just thought better ask you a question. Do you know who your neighbor is? Look around them, the pew that you're on. Everybody on that pew is your neighbor because they are your fellow human beings. Everybody you see this afternoon in the street, that is your neighbor. Every drunk, every crackhead, that is your neighbor. So be careful how you scandalize. Be careful how you put your foot on folks. Be careful how you forget where you come from. All of us. If you're saved and sanctified, you're only saved by the grace of God. But if you look back where you come from, there was a God that looked beyond your nasty faults and blessed your every need. Jesus Christ, he's been a good neighbor to all of us. I thank God for my neighbor because he loves me with everything that he got. When you see somebody in distress, that is your neighbor. You need to take that opportunity to be a help to somebody. Do you know who your neighbor is? Not just those in your community. Even those way across the sea. They are our neighbors. When we hear tragedy after tragedy and you turn on the news and it's one thing after another, you ought to be thanking God that things are as well as they are with you. Look at what's going on with your neighbors. It could be us. Flooding, all kinds of things. We are so blessed right here in this area that we take it for granted. You take your blessings so much for granted to where you're going to miss the mark because you're too tuned in to self. Don't be self-righteous. Know that the only reason that you have salvation is because of Jesus. If Jesus had not died, hallelujah, we'd be lost souls right now. But because Jesus allowed his only son to die, we do have the right to the tree of life. What was happening in this scenario today that I speak of? An intelligent man that knew what was the right thing to do wanted to sort of sidetrack, make excuses as to why he wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. He knew the answer. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all of thy soul. And then he even knew enough to love your neighbor as yourself. But then the Bible says, willing to justify himself. Too many of us get self-righteous. And we try to look at avenues to where we can justify why we don't do what we are supposed to do. If you see someone in despair, we are supposed to lend a helping hand. That's all I'm saying this morning. I've been jumping, hollering, sweating. But after I got tired, I quit. And I'm talking to you now to tell you the good news. That you need to know who your neighbor is. And whoever he or she is, love them. Treat them just like you would treat yourself. If your neighbor, let's go back to the old day. If you got a dozen eggs, your neighbor got five kids, you ain't got but three. Get that neighbor half dozen. They need all them eggs that morning. And I guarantee you God will bless you. God will bless you. It might not be eggs, but God will bless you with something that you need. How many of you believe that if you do right by people or by God, that God has a way of always giving it back? Any believers in that this morning? So that tells me that we got some folk in here this morning that know how to be a real neighbor. Will all the real neighbors stand up? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a joy it is to have so many good neighbors in the house. And you don't have to be a part of State Farm to have a good neighbor. Your good neighbor is anybody and everybody that you see.